Looking forward to this. Mighty man of God, who's going to bring the message this morning. Where's your children gone?
One up there with Grandma.
Oh, with Grandma. Fantastic. Lovely. All right. Are you using this one?
Yeah.
Bless you, Christopher.
Thank you.
Just excuse me, folks, for a second. Cold weather always makes my nose run. Just, I should have been in a warmer climate. Okay. Firstly, we'll just uplift the message in prayer. Father, I just thank you that we have access. We have access because of the spilt blood of Jesus Christ that shed for us, gives us access to the Father again. Where before we had a curtain, now we have an open door. And thank you, Father. I thank you that your Spirit is going to breathe on this word. I thank you that your Spirit is going to talk to people this morning. Thank you that you're going to talk to me, guide me in what I say. Thank you for your holy word. May this message bring life. May it bring comfort. May it bring change. May it bring inspiration. May it bring revelation. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I just thought I'd start with a fun, I find it interesting, but my son and I are currently watching rocket videos. So he's very much into rockets, Zachariah. And every night we watch a little clip, favourite clip of all these rockets going off into space, which he just absolutely loves. And there's this one in particular where the space shuttle Atlantis, you know, they're doing their little communication, you know, roll program complete, blah, 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 boosters detached, etc. If anyone knows anything about rocket launches, there's a whole series of actions and things that happen up to a certain point when they get into orbit. So then there's this one thing that stands out to me, and it sort of resonated this morning when we were singing Christ is Enough. And it's talking about, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. And over the radio and during the launch, there's certain points where ground control will call out two engine return and then something else, one engine return. And then there's a certain point where they're not quite in orbit, but the operator at ground control says, Atlantis, no return. And that's the point where if everything fails, we're going anyway, because there's, you know, you can't go back to ground base once you get to this point. One engine return, you can. Three engine failure, that's it, no return. So, and you're out. So I was really encouraged when that song came up, because I'm like, yes, that's what God's been talking to me about, because at some point in your walk, you've got to decide there's no return. God's speaking to you in your heart and in your soul, no return, no return. Things can happen though. Things can upset your faith. They can rock you, shake your belief, shake your soul. You know, that's the whole thing of, you know, it is well with my soul. Sometimes it's just, you know, there's a little bit of shaking, and you've got to find where that wellness, the rock is in the ground. You know, some of us I'll have to say this because I don't know about anyone else, but this is probably the hardest season I've had to go through. Things have been pretty rosy, fairly rosy due to my youth and inexperience and just having a good season, you know, and then all of a sudden things coming to an end and things changing and life changing. I'm now the father to two sons, one and three, and who knows that changes everything. Okay. Jesus, then children. Yeah, Jesus, children. And it's one of the challenges that I've had to work very hard at. I don't think I've ever had to work anything harder than raising children. HSC, that's a fallacy. HSC is nothing really. Work, yes. Career, yes. No. But yes, raising children, I've had to apply absolutely every faculty and every background and every training and every experience, every life experience and educational input I've ever had, I've had to devote to putting to my children. That's if you want to do a good job, I guess. So with that, my message is titled The Fight of Faith, The Good Fight of Faith. So I don't know why it is, Sandra, I keep vacillating between forgiveness and faith in my messages. That's pretty crucial things, you know. Forgiveness is a bit of a deal breaker for God. If you don't forgive your brother, neither will I forgive you. And also faith pleases God. So those two things are fundamental in my understanding as a Christian. Having walked a little while, understand that, you know, when there's a blockage and when things are not going right, well, let's check first. Is there anything in my heart? Is there any unforgiveness? That's a good place to start. Secondly, where's my faith? What do I have faith in? What do I believe? What do I hope for? And I'm interested to keep exploring this because the enemy is not necessarily after all your stuff. He's not after your money. He's not after your family necessarily. Well, that's good collateral damage. He's actually after your faith, which is more precious than gold. If he can destroy that, he can take out a lot of things. Because, you know, did you know that your destiny and your identity as a believer in the body of Christ actually impacts other people? And this is something I've struggled with because sometimes we can get really insular and we're not really aware of the impact that we have on other people. We might have this estimation of who we are, but to someone, you're this. And what you're inputting into their life is this. And you think that you're only doing this. That's a gross misunderstanding about who you are. Because sometimes we don't get the right perspective. Faith is a different type of perspective. Obviously, the enemy sowed doubt in the beginning. He said, did God really say to Adam and Eve? Sowing doubt is just an easy way for him to get under your skin. Sometimes the circumstances that are in your life outright fly in the face of what you think your life should be like or your calling is or whatever's happening in your life. You don't think that should be happening as a believer, and it's flying in your face because it's not all lining up. And sometimes, I don't know if anyone else can understand me or relate, but most often than not, there's that one thing that is a battle all your life, and you're just like, can I get rid of that thorn? Can I get rid of this circumstance? Can I fix that situation? Can I be that person that I know I should be in my heart, that God's given me a dream for? You know, when's that going to come to fruition? All I see is brokenness, and all I see is shattered relationships and wasted time. And sometimes it can look not right. Doesn't look good in the natural. Sometimes people have had situations in their life that have taken them out from the beginning. You know, the way you were raised wasn't right. Dad was an alcoholic, used to beat mum. All that sort of other circumstances that don't quite line up with what God's intention was for your life. You know, sometimes we fail. Sometimes we make horrible mistakes and failures, and it just doesn't line up with what you think God should have for your life. There's another interesting point that I want to raise, is that before you were formed, he knew you. He chose you from before creation. That truth comes from Romans 8, 29 to 30, and Ephesians 1, 5. So the enemy knew this as well, because he was with the Father before creation and he was looking in the heart of God. He was there worshipping God, Lucifer, light, the angel of light, was looking into God and he saw who you were before creation, because you are in the heart of God. And he had a sneak peek of what your destiny was like. And he was a little bit intimidated when he decided to do his thing. So he really does have it out for those people who have calling and predestined. But God has a different story for each one of us. I really believe that we need to refocus, because sometimes all of this stuff that comes in front of us, politics, all the disasters of the world, your personal circumstances, get in the way and take the focus away from what God really wants to show you in your life today. So obviously, Hebrews 11, now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. And this is what the ancients were commended for. So there's two things we can break down from faith. One is its confidence in our hope. And what is our hope? The things we do not see. And they are the things that God speaks of in your life. That prophetic word over your life, that passage of scripture that you've held on to, that understanding and revelation that God has given you, that spurs you on. That thing that you've anchored your soul to. Because the only way that the enemy can get into your heads is by changing what you see. He can't change the word of God. He can't change what was spoken over your life. He can't change the fact that God has called you according to his purpose. And that he has a plan for your life, Danielle. He can't change that. We can see an unfruitful ministry where God has actually blessed it. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean that it's not there in embryonic form, ready to grow or be released at the appointed time. Because sometimes faith is not necessarily about believing hard enough, it's waiting long enough and still holding on to your convictions. Because I can tell you that one of the things that the current atmosphere of our generation don't quite understand is that if you hang in long enough, it will come to pass. And it's not a fly-by-night thing, it's not a make it grow now because we can do X, Y, Z thing anymore. If you believe that God's called you somewhere, or if you believe that God has called you to be something, don't let go of that. Don't let go until you see it. Because that is what God commends. If you have been given a task, if you have been given a calling, if you have an identity in him that you know that you know that you know that you know that he's called you to be, then you must hang on to that. You must pray about it. You must seek his face, because it can come to pass if you believe. God wants you to believe. Jesus said, only believe. Fear not, only believe. We can see, well, God judges the heart. Man looks at the outward appearance. So some might say, you know, oh, it's not like how it used to be. Well, no, hang on a minute. Let's look a little deeper. God looks deeper. What's really going on in, say, the fabric of the church, for example? What our little church family is and who we are, that has yet to come to pass. I believe that there is a season that's coming. And we've always heard this, and it's easy to just go, oh, well, yeah, we've heard that before. But no, if you really have faith and if you're called to this church to be part of what God is building, you're going to go, yes, I can see that by faith. This is what God has promised for his church, that if his name is lifted high, he will draw all men to himself. So in this church, I believe that we are a people who will lift Jesus high in our hearts. And sometimes that looks a little messy, but we're getting there. And I believe firmly that we should keep walking. Don't just give up because there's no young people. Don't just give up because there's no youth program. Don't just give up because there's no musicians on stage at the moment. I've had to tell myself that. And it's just this is all just fruit. This is just the branches, the core, and I've spoken about this before in the past, about the pruning, and the roots have gone down deep. There's no problem. God will just breathe on what's here already, and he's going to bring it to pass. There's no need to try and reinvent the wheel. God has sown deeply into the lives of the people who are committed here and who have chosen to give their life to Christ. It might be a 5-year journey, it might be a 50-year journey for some of you, but that doesn't matter. God's work in your life is still deeply rooted, and if you keep walking and if you keep putting your stakes in the ground and declaring that God's word is true over your life, what he said over your life is true still, as it was 50 years ago, as it was 10 years ago, as it was five years ago, because I am the Lord and I change not. So if you're going to walk in a Christian walk, you have to have faith as paramount, because it's very easy when something looks great to go, yeah, I can go with that. But what about when it all gets taken out from under you? Where do you stand? I once had a prophetic drawing. Someone gave me a prophetic drawing and said, this is you, Chris. And he put me on a rock in the middle of a jungle. He said, standing on the rock. And I'm like, well, that's great. But now, more than ever, I've had to remember that word and go, yes, in the end of it all, I have to stand on Jesus. And then what happens here is our bringing that together. It's not, we're not propping each other up necessarily, although that's appropriate. We should bear with one another and bear each other's weaknesses and burdens. But at the same token, what we're trying to do is disciple and lead people on how to stand in their own right before God. We can see a troubled marriage where God sees the purpose and destiny of what he joined together. We can see wayward sons and daughters where God knows that they will return. So that should be, and it's so hard to articulate, but it's definitely got to be well with your soul. If it's real and you have faith for it, you've got to have it to be well with your soul, that that will happen and that his mercy will cover their waywardness. We can see our failure, but God only sees his sacrifice of his son Jesus. So in spite of everything, as I've mentioned, we need to be intentional about the channel we choose to stream to our soul. Yes, it's a new season. Things don't look pretty. But I believe that the best is yet to come. There's no getting away from that saying, I'm sorry. It was coined and now it's in enshrined. The best is yet to come. We must believe that. If we're going to have a hope at all, we've got to believe that God's best is yet to come. We haven't seen. No eye has seen. No ear has heard. Nor has it entered into the heart of man. Those things that the God has for those who love him and according to his purpose. I believe we're going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. There's no hope if you just think that it's just, you know, all over because of one circumstance. No, no, no. There is life beyond a failure. There is life beyond, you know, whatever circumstances you're facing in your life today. Second Corinthians 5:7 says, we live by faith and not by sight. Stare down the barrel of that circumstance and declare what you know to be true from the Father. I'm going to give you a bit of an example. So when life feels a little bit long and dark and day in, day out, you know, commitments and there's no break, you're tired emotionally, physically, mentally exhausted, worried, caught up with all of the world events, or you just didn't make the right godly choices that day. Maybe God isn't so much of a priority in your life anymore, and cares and concerns have crept in like the thorns in the parable of the sower. The burden of responsibility and the choices we make can get heavy and tiresome. And, you know, as I mentioned before, like with child rearing, you know, it's day in, day out. Sometimes it's a bit, and especially in winter, it's cold, you're up rocking children and you're tired, you haven't slept much. I don't know how many times on the car ride home from work, which is 25 minutes for me, filled with a sense of sorrow or burden, and it sometimes doesn't look like I'm meeting the mark, and all I can do is just to put my favourite worship song and let the atmosphere of God's presence minister to me. But do you reckon I feel it? All the time, every time? Is there anyone who can witness to that today? Hello? But then what do you do then? What do you do then? Tell me. Can someone just bounce some mind? Just keep going? What am I doing though? What am I doing? Put the truth on your tongue. Put that truth on your tongue. I'm not feeling it. I feel like a failure. I declare that I am called and chosen of God to speak to Southern Life Church on Sunday, the 31st of July, 2022, and for it to count for something, because God has called me to do it. And sometimes the message... I think I did about 5 messages over the last 2 weeks. Sat down on my computer. No. getting to the 11th hour and just going, this is not a complete message. And realizing that I'm actually talking about the very thing that I need to have to deliver this message today as an incomplete message. But we need to start to declare and get aggressive with our faith. I mean, it's not like it's a destructive thing, but, you know, like you have to really hold, you have to press, and it just doesn't feel right. When you know you've not hit the mark that day and you feel like an absolute failure and you're going to go home and have to put your shoulder to the wheel with children, and that, by the way, I do not resent, but it is an output. And who knows that we only have a certain amount of output. And we go beyond that a lot of times with children. And that's a parent thing, obviously. But there is the deficiency, and that's where we sometimes go, what? What now? But then when you start to speak what you know is true, something transforms. There's a revelation, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the message of Christ or the Word of God. So there's something that happens in our hearts when we hear the gospel message. Interestingly enough, I just love to hear the way that the cross impacts people. Because for myself, I hear the gospel message preached effectively and I go, yes, and it's like a new, fresh day in my salvation. It's like a renewal of the joy of my salvation. Listening to how God has gone, stooped to very, very low in order to elevate me by his grace. And, you know, just meditating on, there's so much to just draw out of that cornerstone of our faith, that it's a never-ending supply. We can continue to learn more about how that grace applies to our life specifically. Because when I draw that to my memory, when I feel like a failure, those words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Listening to the heart of God about who I am and that he saw me before I was chosen. Sorry, before the creation of the world, he chose me. So he knew. He knows the end from the beginning. So what, you know, when I go, why did you choose me, God? Well, he just did. What a mystery. He just chose you. Instantly, our sense of self-esteem and appreciation and gratitude and thanks begins to pour out of our heart. See, when we declare that I have been chosen and that my sins are forgiven and I'm a child of God and I'm going to heaven, and then you realize the magnitude of the level to which Christ has had to forgive you and to hold you up and to build you up, then your gratitude increases and therefore your praise comes more easily. Faith is a shield. The shield of faith, for which you can quench the fiery darts of the enemy, because they will come. But they can be quenched by your faith. So whatever it is cannot stand your faith. They cannot penetrate your faith. That's that action that you have to do. You have to speak, declare. So let's decide. No turning back. Let's continue on the pathway of Jesus Christ and our faith in him and what he's done. We can rest in his character. There's more to our faith than our own efforts, as I've just explained. Sometimes you just have to remind yourself that God has chosen you, not the other way around. What a comforting thought. We are chosen. Psalm 103, 13 to 14. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows we are formed, how we are formed, and he remembers that we are dust. When you're facing a hard moment, rest and know that God has compassion on those who fear and revere him, who hold him in high regard. That's why you're feeling yucky. That's why you're feeling like you missed the mark, because you know that what you're trying to live before him in such a way. But when you don't meet it, that's where grace comes and connects with your life. You don't need to worry about meeting some standard for God to love you and for God to accept you. And at the very least, all he's asked us to do as believers is believe. Believe in me. Ephesians 3:16-19. And I'm going to leave you with this. And what I want to do, excuse me for a second. What I'm going to do, I'm just going to read this out, and then I would hope, I don't know if, Jean, were you able to find that worship clip? Yeah. So, Jules, just checking with you, if we could have a time, I've just got the worship to go on there, and people can come up and do business with God. And I don't think it's something that necessarily needs prayer ministry, because people have got to. So the what I'm hoping that everyone will realize is that this is about you and God. So he's not necessarily up the front of the church. You can do your business in your seat, but sometimes it's good to act and come out and be part of the of what God's doing at the front. And if you feel led to, Jules, you can call ministry or whatever you want to do. But I just want to have this music playing over us. And the song, after I read the scripture, the song is called Worthy. And it's just the chorus of a song from Elevation Church that says, Worthy is your name, Jesus. Worthy, you deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. And it's just that. But the ministry of the Holy Spirit, I believe, in this time is just you declaring over your life that Jesus is worthy, and that whatever's going on, let's just draw our focus back up to that truth that he is worthy, and he's taken our sins to the cross. For that, he deserves our every breath. And further to Steve's saying in the beginning, if anyone here doesn't know that grace, that the reality of that sacrifice that was given, I pray that you have been stirred by the message and by the worship, that you might want to come and talk to somebody about making a decision. And I would say that I'm available, but also Jules and I don't know who else would be, Sandra, yep. And we can all just sort of talk about that together. Ephesians 3:16-19 says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. So that's a good thing, because when we're trying to make the assessment of our circumstances, sometimes we need something that's surpassing knowledge, don't we? That you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. We all need that power in our life to get through with the tough times and to ground us in our faith. And I believe that if you have business this morning with God, I'm trusting God that he's going to honour this time this morning, and that this music will minister to us. And I don't know, Jules, if you wanted to close the meeting at some point, but it's a long clip. It's like 18 minutes. Just sort of goes while we have the time. But I pray that you would all go from here and really cement your intention to keep walking and keep going through this walk and journey of faith.
Yeah, there's nothing else that needs to be said. I think if we just turn the house lights down and just allow everyone to do their business with God, and if you need to come to the front, you can come, kneel, stand, whatever. And if you do want someone to pray, just sort of give us the look. And Christopher, he can pray for you. He's carrying that anointing this morning. And so, Father, we just thank you, and we seal that word this morning over every heart here today. We just thank you, Father, that you've spoken to us, and everyone can get something from this message today. So we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So when you feel that you've done your business, you can just quietly leave, and we'll just keep it that atmosphere here. Thank you, Christopher. That was just amazing. Thank you.